Grace and Lenten peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. The text that we'll consider this morning comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 18, beginning with verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior, who died that we might live, dear friends in Christ, there's a plant that is native to parts of Europe and North Africa. It has a red stem and small white flowers. It looks innocent enough until it is processed, and then it becomes a very strong alkaloid compound, the poison hemlock. The ancient Greeks used it to execute criminals. In the year 399 BC, the philosopher Socrates was handed a bitter cup full of hemlock and forced to drink it. He soon succumbed to convulsions, paralysis, and death. Some four centuries later, another man was handed a bitter cup to drink. But this time there was a choice. And instead of hemlock, this cup contained something far more dreadful, the righteous anger of God over the sins of the world. Jesus was not forced to drink it. He chose to. That's why he asked Peter a crucial question, a question that forms our theme for today. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? The scene was the Garden of Gethsemane at night. Torches flared and the murmur of voices could be heard as Judas led an armed band toward Jesus and his disciples. It was, as Jesus put it, their hour and the power of darkness. Peter, who only hours earlier had boasted of how staunchly he would remain with Jesus and defend him, now attempts to prove it. He draws his sword and strikes, severing the right ear of Malchus, a servant of the high priest. One wonders what Peter imagined was going to happen next. Perhaps he thought all the other disciples would rally round him in a brave defense of their master. Maybe Jesus would again strike his enemies with blindness and walk through the midst of them unharmed. Instead, something he didn't expect happened. Jesus rebuked him. "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Within that question lie other questions. "Peter, do you still not know why I came? Do you still not understand what this is about? After everything I've taught you, do you still not see?" For us, the meaning is clear. The cup of Christ's suffering was no accident. It wasn't merely the result of Roman cruelty or Jewish envy. It was the Father's will. From the very beginning, this was God's plan, to substitute his innocent Son for guilty sinners like you and me. The cup was filled to the brim with the bitter judgment that our sins deserved. Our pride, our anger, our selfishness, every transgression, every failure to love God above all things, that bitter draft was meant for us. And it would indeed be bitter. Jesus knew exactly what lay ahead. The forced exhaustion, the beating, the scourging, the slow agony of crucifixion. Worse still, the spiritual anguish, to be innocent and yet condemned, to be holy and yet treated as vile, to be abandoned by friends and forsaken under divine judgment. Most criminals of that day who were condemned to death at least had the quick death of beheading, but not Jesus. Jesus would suffer slowly, shamefully, publicly, as one who was numbered with the transgressors. Even that small comfort of companionship would be denied him, as one disciple betrayed him, another condemned him, and the rest took to their heels and fled. I have trodden the winepress alone, he said through the prophet. His was not only a bitter cup, but a solitary one. Yet he said, shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Jesus answered that question with a steadfast determination. The Father had given it, therefore he would drink it. Not reluctantly, but willingly. He wouldn't allow Peter's sword or anything else to stand between him and his goal of rescuing lost sinners like us. For this purpose I came to this hour, Jesus said. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What was that joy? The joy of offering eternal life to lost sinners like you and me. Self-sacrifice is not unknown, even among sinners like us. It's easy for us to imagine, say, a parent rushing in front of an oncoming vehicle in order to save a beloved child. We can understand that. What we struggle to comprehend is a father who deliberately sacrifices his son in order to save someone else. Yet that's exactly what happened at Calvary. The Father gave his son the bitter cup to drink so that you would not have to drink it. Jesus drained that cup to its last drop. Every ounce of wrath, every measure of judgment was satisfied. And now, in place of that bitter cup, he offers you another cup, a sweet cup, free forgiveness for all your sins, peace with God, eternal life, the sweet cup of salvation. You may have heard Pastor Sam Rodebaugh tell the story of a first grade boy at our school in Winter Haven, Florida. He had learned about Jesus for the very first time at Emmanuel Lutheran School. So one evening at dinner time, he asked his family if they could offer a prayer of thanks to God before they began their meal. His father replied gruffly, "Well, I don't think I believe in God." The little boy looked at him in wonder and said, "God died for you, and you don't believe in him?" My Christian friends, God died for you. And thanks be to the Holy Spirit, you do believe in him. Because of what Christ did for you on the cross, that sweet cup of salvation is yours to drink. Jesus asked the crucial question, shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? And he answered it with unwavering resolve, yes, I will drink it. And because he did, you may now say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for draining the bitter cup of punishment for me. Thank you for putting the sweet cup of salvation to my lips. Or in the words of the psalmist, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation, and I will call on the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll conclude with stanzas 1, 3, and 5 of hymn 521.